I know the show's starting now. Hey, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, truth seekers. This is your Mike Malloy Show, and I am not Mike Malloy, but don't hold it against me. I am Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, broadcasting live coast to coast and around the globe tonight. Tomorrow and all this week, as I told you, Mike Malloy is off this week. I could say he's off on assignment this week. He's down in Florida purging voters. No, he's not. Oh, he's going to kill me. That's what he's doing. He's down there purging voters. We're going to talk about that tonight. Anyway, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for a vacationing Mike and Kathy Malloy. Broadcasting from the beautiful K-Talk AM 1150 studios in lovely downtown Burbank, home of the world champion Los Angeles Kings. Half the audience goes, who the hell are the Los Angeles Kings? Well, they're the hockey team that won the Stanley Cup last night. And just minutes ago outside in the hall, I'm told I didn't see it. They wouldn't let me see it. Don't laugh. Tony, did you see it? Did you see the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, it got passed like...
It was, you were
just
close?
Just carried it right by me.
Did
no
you
one,
touch it?
No one was like, they had like security. No. Okay. No one was allowed to touch it or stop the guy with it or take pictures with it because I was the captain.
All right. Well, the Stanley Cup was in the hallway, in and out. We didn't get to see it. But like you care. Like I said, nobody cares. Who are the LA Kings? Anyway, we are doing a political show tonight, not a sports show. And we are going to be talking about politics as we move forward. But I want you to write down our phone number tonight, 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. That's not the normal Malloy number. That's our special phone number when I'm sitting in for Mike. You can also stop by the bradblog.com chat room, which is lively all night. They're in there heckling me. You don't want to miss one exciting moment. And I see that, oh, good, For Earth is here tonight. She's moderating in the chat room along with Dez, with Margot. Everybody's streaming in. Don't be left out. Get over there. Also, you can reach me on the Twitters at the Bradblog tonight. And do I have all the business out of the way? I think I do. Coming up on the show tonight, we will be joined. I'm very excited about this. Speaking of purging voters in Florida, the one and only legendary Ion Sancho. Who is Ion Sancho? He is the legendary election supervisor from Leon County, Florida. The one who was so trusted by both sides of the aisle that he was actually put in charge of the 2000 presidential recount in the state of Florida. You remember that one, the one that never happened. Well, before it didn't happen, Ion was in charge of it. He's going to be joining us today, tonight, to talk about the breaking news we've got. And this is a roller coaster out of the state of Florida. The breaking news this afternoon, the U.S. Justice Department now suing the state of Florida after the state disregarded the federal government's request to suspend its voter purge campaign. Yes, Florida Governor Rick Scott. Well, you know, it's an election year. So if it's an election year, it's time to purge voters illegally in the state of Florida. And yes, that's what Governor Rick Scott is trying to do. Based on 180,000 people he claims are non-citizens, turns out almost every single one of them are citizens. So we're going to talk to Ion Sancho about that and much more. He, by the way, one of my favorite election directors in the country, who once said, if you can't see it, you shouldn't trust it. If it can't be verified, you shouldn't trust it. Yeah, I like that. So he's going to be joining us to talk about that mess in Florida and if anybody's going to be allowed to vote this year in Florida. And let's see. Also, this hour, this is an amazing story. You know, we were talking last night a lot, and I gotta have a few more thoughts on this in a moment. But we were talking last night about Wisconsin, the Wisconsin elections, the Wisconsin recall last week, the fact that nobody knows if the results are actually accurate, that nobody bothered to verify a single vote, a single ballot after it was counted by the computers that are often wrong. Well, you know, the one way that citizens can fight to make sure that their elections are tabulated accurately is by examining ballots themselves, at least in places where they are allowed to do so. You would think that ballots, of all things, paper ballots would be paper records. But no, not anymore. Not in the state of Colorado, where the Republican governor signed a law last week exempting paper ballots from public records requests. So not only do we now vote in secret, which is good, we should vote in secret, but we count the ballots in secret. That's terrible. That's an outrage. We should not count the ballots in secret. But now the ballots themselves are kept secret, so citizens can't oversee their own elections. Because they can't even get a look at these ballots. So John Tomasik of the Colorado Independent is going to be joining us a little bit later this hour to explain this law to me, because I hope that I misunderstand it. I really do. I'm afraid I don't, but we'll see. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. Let's see, Colorado, we got Florida. Okay, let me go back to Wisconsin for a second. You know, I was on Ed Schultz's show earlier today. My friend Tony Truppiano was guest hosting, and I was on in the first hour talking about my concerns about Wisconsin, about, not just Walker's purported win, Walker's unverified win last week in the recalls, but John Lehman's unverified win. He's the Democrat who currently is up over the incumbent Republican State Senator Van Wengard is his name in the 21st district. And if John Lehman wins, it will flip control, at least for now, of the state Senate up in Wisconsin to the Democrats, which means the Democrats can now block whatever was left of Scott Walker's agenda between here and the end of the year, when they'll have new elections and everything may turn over again. But John Lehman is up by just over 800 votes out of 70,000 cast. And yet the Republicans out there are not calling for a recount. Why? I don't know. They should. None of those ballots are actually verified as having been recorded accurately. We had a Republican supporter last night of Scott Walker's on the show, John Washburn from Wisconsin. Election integrity expert, he said he doesn't have any confidence in the numbers, the ones concerning Scott Walker or the ones concerning John Lehman. So, Van Wengard, why aren't you calling for a recount? Well, he has now, I think, until the end of the week to decide if he wants to do that. This from the Journal Times. Official results from last Tuesday's recall election show former state senator John Lehman defeated State Senator Van Wengard by 834 votes. The official results totaled Tuesday, that's today, increased Lehman's lead by 55 votes. But Wengard, the Republican, as of Tuesday afternoon, had not conceded and had not yet ruled out a recount, with his campaign manager citing reports of voting irregularities. Oh, really? Really? Where were they? I'd love to know about it. I'd love to look into it. Anyway, voting irregularities. Yeah, there were none. Election irregularities, counting irregularities, tabulating irregularities. Yeah, maybe. The final total was Lehman with 36,351 votes, Wengard with 35,517. Let's see. Racine County Clerk Wendy Christensen read Tuesday after finishing the canvass for the 21st Senate District at Racine County Courthouse. That was today. So, soon after, Lehman released a statement that said, "After today's canvass, we are even more confident in our victory. I look forward to getting to work in Madison and focusing on new jobs for Racine County residents." But Justin Phillips, Wengard's campaign manager, said, "We have 3 days to decide our course of action," referring to that recount. Do it! Let's do it. Let's have a recount. A recount? It's not a recount. It's a count. Let's count the ballots. Let's put them in front of the people and let's count the ballots. How about that? I think that would be great. No, I don't think the Republicans should roll over and let the Democrat win based on unverified votes. But here was the Journal Sentinel today. Oh, Journal Sentinel. Actually, you know what? I'm going to wait until after the break. I'll tell you what the Journal Sentinel had to say about this race. The Journal Sentinel, which endorsed Scott Walker time and time again. I'll tell you what the Journal Sentinel up there in Milwaukee had to say after we come back from this break. You're listening to Brad Friedman of Brad Blog right here on your Mike Malloy Show. Stay tuned. Oh, we got a big, big show straight ahead.
Obituary. Oh yeah, cockroach nets, rattling traps. How many devils can you fit up on a matchet? Killing us and he killed the Kerouac cat. Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah, you know, I had gotten, I got confused while I was talking in the last segment. I started to talk about Ed Schultz being on the show this morning. And, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com here. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Ed Schultz. I was on Ed Schultz. I was with my pal, Tony Truppiano, who has a great show. Too early in the morning for me to be on out here from the West Coast. Check him out. I think it's First Shift. .com or firstshift.org. Anyway, so Tony was on. I was on with him on the first hour on Ed Schultz show and explaining my thoughts about Wisconsin. And the rest of the show, the next 2 hours, people kept calling in to talk about it. And they were referring back to me. And, you know, and that's fine. That's great. But, you know, what it tells me is, because I know, listen, I drive everyone crazy talking about this stuff. But the fact is, nobody talks about it. Nobody else talks about it. Yes, sometimes they talk about the purge, the voter purge, the front end stuff, the photo ID restrictions. Sometimes, some people, Rachel talks about it. Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. They talk about it a little bit on MSNBC. Al Sharpton talks about it. But the machinery of our elections, nobody talks about it. And we have these huge elections, and we spend millions and millions and millions of obscene money in a post-Citizens United era. We talk about the horse race endlessly. Oh, Romney said this idiotic thing today. Oh, Barack Obama said this stupid thing today. How is this going to affect voters this fall? They talk about the horse race. They don't talk about the track conditions. And if you've ever been to the horse race, if you've ever bet on horses, you know that you are crazy to place a bet unless you check out what the track conditions are. Because that changes everything. So, yeah, we're going to talk about the track conditions here. We're going to drive you crazy about it here, whether you like it or not. Because this is the stuff that matters. You could talk about the Scott Walker race for 16 months in advance. You can organize everybody out there on the ground like they did in Wisconsin. My heroes up there standing up for democracy. And then the vote happens. And these computers, these privately owned computers, tell you what the results are, and everybody goes, oh, well, that sucks. Oh, well, we lost. I guess that's terrible. What do we do now? Oh, I guess that means that Barack Obama's in trouble this November. Oh, really? Is he? Why is it always these bellwether elections, you know, these ones that are supposed to tell us how it's going to, you know, what we can look forward to this fall, that seem to have these problems, that seem to have these questions about them, that seem to be, you know, when the polls close, as they did last Tuesday, that all the networks all agree that the exit polls tell us it's going to be a squeaker, it's going to go all night, it's going to be 50-50. This may go until tomorrow morning. We may have to have a recount. Oh, and then 5 minutes later, oh, it looks like Scott Walker won. Never mind. In a landslide. It was over. Never mind. Worked out for the Republican. That happened, what was it, in 2010, speaking of Florida, when some 18,000 votes just disappeared in the bellwether special election down there for U.S. House, allowing Vern Buchanan to win by 369 votes after 18,000 just disappeared on the voting machines down in the state of Florida. Another bellwether election. Oh, well, what are you going to do about it? You need to count the votes. You need to count the ballots. We need to get these machines that count our votes in secret, out of the elections. So to that end, the Journal Sentinel, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who endorsed Scott Walker in the recall, they said he shouldn't be recalled. He didn't break any laws. Why should he be recalled? Just because he split the state in half. Just because he lied about what he was going to do as governor. He shouldn't be recalled. He didn't break any laws. Funny, I don't remember anybody out here in California saying that Governor Gray Davis shouldn't be recalled. He didn't break any laws either. No, he had to be replaced by Arnold. But it's different when it's a Republican. It's okay when it's a Republican. Anyway, the Journal Sentinel says here's their piece on whether Vanguard should ask for a recount or not, the Republican in this race. He said a Republican Party spokesperson. They write for the editorial board. A Republican Party spokesman said today that State Senator Vanguard will decide by the end of the week whether to ask for a recount in his close election loss to former Senator John Lehman of Racine, the Democrat. Vanguard should end the suspense now and concede the race to Lehman. Racine County election official said Tuesday that the official canvass has Lehman winning by 834 votes. It seems unlikely that a recount will change that number substantially. We disagreed with Vanguard on several issues, but he earned our respect as a legislator, and he was a loyal soldier for the Republicans. He should now do the classy thing and concede to the wishes of the voters. A request for a recount would only delay the inevitable and stoke the fires of political divisiveness. You know what, Journal Sentinel? Shut up. Just shut up. You did a crappy job covering the Supreme Court race last year. You didn't cover all of the thousands of ballots and ballot bags that were busted open. Just shut up. We don't care what you think. We want to count the ballots. We want to count the votes of the people. Is that too much to ask, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel? Just shut up. Brad, in from Molloy, Colorado, is next. Welcome back. This is your Mike Molloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. In for Mike Molloy. We are going to we're going to head to Colorado next. You people buckle up in Colorado. Actually, you people buckle up across the country, because the reason we're going to Colorado is because it's an object lesson. It's an object lesson of what they're trying to do. You thought they were shutting you out of your own electoral system, out of your own ability to have self-governance. You thought that it had gotten bad. Well, it's getting worse. They're figuring out new ways to keep you, or I should say we, the people, locked out of our own elections. And the state of Colorado, what they're doing there, well, we're going to talk to John Tomasik in just a minute or two. But let's see, we have a caller came in with a question. And while we're getting John, let me go ahead and get to the caller. Hey, Gary in Minneapolis, what's on your mind, brother? And welcome to the Mike Molloy Show.
Before I get to my point, I had one quick thing I brought up with Mike last week.
Yeah.
Sanchez was on a few weeks ago, and he said that he had a punk rock flyer put in the a Hall of Fame music thing, and I was wondering if you could get him in sometime during the week while you're on to play some punk rock stuff that's acceptable on the radio.
You see, you know, you are totally a setup. You are a friend of Tony Sorrentino, my engineer. You must be calling in on his behalf, because that's all he ever wants to do is play punk rock. Do you have any specific requests that Tony can deliver for you?
Class War by the Dills and some Black Flag.
Okay. Yeah, he's nodding. All right, we'll work on it. You'll have to listen, however, to all 3 hours of every single night to find out when
that
happens.
Well, that's good. If it's on Friday and it's good, we can listen to it twice on the weekend, because they replay it.
There you go. All right, what's your question?
Okay, I had a couple ones. First of all, I didn't know if you knew how many states have recall things for, like, the governor, because I heard Arizona had it, and I heard Michigan stop doing it after Wisconsin.
My understanding is that there have been three gubernatorial recalls in the history of this nation, and the first one that didn't succeed in removing the governor was the one that happened last Tuesday, where nobody bothered to examine a single ballot to make sure the computers recorded it accurately.
Right.
Yeah.
And then my other question is, if we had a system in a lot of states like Oregon does, where you just mail it in, would that deter any of the stuff you talk about?
No, it wouldn't, because and a lot of people, and I'm sorry, folks in Oregon, I know you love your mail-in system, but the fact is those paper ballots up there in Oregon are also counted by the same computers that fail time and time again. And we're going to speak next hour with the Ion Sancho, the legendary election director from Leon County, Florida, who was in the movie. You can see him in the movie Hacking Democracy. See the results of an election flipping right before your very eyes. Paper ballots, but they're run through optical scanners. And anything can happen, either by malfunction or malfeasance. And it did happen recently in Palm Beach County, Florida. We talked a little bit about it last night, where the Sequoia optical scan systems announced three different races wrong, named the losers to be the winners of the race. And they only found out because they got lucky after the election. They examined a few of the ballots and they happened to notice the error. So no, it's no better in a state like Oregon with mail-in ballots because they're still counted by computers, not human beings. Does that answer your question?
Pretty much. Okay. I guess we'll just have to bring foreign people in to watch our elections like the UN does.
No, here's an idea. Bring American people in to count our elections just like New Hampshire does in 40% of their towns and just like the rest of the civilized world does. I got to run, Gary. I appreciate the call. I got to get to my guest who's waiting on hold here.
Have a good one.
Thank you, brother. You too. Okay, we're, as I promised, over to Colorado now. And this from John Tomasik's article late last week in the Colorado Independent. Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper signed a controversial bill that would restrict public access to government records, including ballots. Advocacy elections and government watchdog groups across the political spectrum had called on Hickenlooper to veto the bill and have signaled their intent to file suit against the state if it should become law. In a release, Marilyn Marks, founder of the Citizen Center, a great election integrity advocate, by the way, she is, and one of the bill's main detractors, called it a, quote, statewide embarrassment to open government and the people's right to verify, statewide embarrassment to open government and the people's right to verify their elections. She said she had hoped, planned litigation would prevent the law from taking effect prior to the upcoming elections, where full transparency is unquestionably required, unquote. Critics of the legislation told The Independent they saw the bill as a case of, quote, throwing the baby out with the bathwater, that although citizen oversight can weigh on officials, including county clerks, government transparency and accountability is too valuable in a democracy to dilute. In a release, Governor Hickenlooper lauded the bill for clarifying, quote, the security and chain of custody for ballots throughout the election season, making certain our elections are properly administered. Really? They're properly administered by we, the people, not being able to actually see those ballots? I must misunderstand something about this law. I'm hoping I misunderstand something about this law. To explain this law to us is the reporter of that, the author of that article, the journalist from the Colorado Independent, John Tomasik. And I hope I have pronounced that right. Hey, John, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hi, Brad.
Great.
Tomasik, perfectly correct.
Tomasik, okay, because I've been following your work now for years over there, and we've talked many times via email, but I realized I never said your name out loud. It's Tomasik, John Tomasik. Welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you. You're not alone in being baffled by this law. I don't know how well I can explain it, but we've officially left civilization, as you put it.
Explain this to me, John. Am I understanding this correctly? Basically, what this law is saying is that the public, if they want to examine the ballots, I guess before an election is certified, to make sure that they were tabulated correctly, they're no longer allowed to do so. Ballots are no longer public records.
You would think that based on the law, but no, not exactly. There are blackout periods where the public can no longer file, or officials have the right to deny open records requests seeking ballot access to the ballot. Now, those blackout periods are 45 days before the election, before Election Day,
mm-hmm.
and up to 30 days that it takes to certify the election. So it's in effect a 85 or 90-day blackout. The problem is that often, in places like El Paso County and many of the counties of Colorado, elections overlap. And so the blackout period could be forever, And in any case, they're prohibited, the public and the press, by the way, are prohibited from viewing the ballots in time to make a difference to the election. So there it is.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, they'll use secret tabulating systems, and I know they still use a lot of touchscreen voting systems across the state of Colorado, which are 100% unverifiable. But even in the places where there are paper ballots, those are counted by computers, and which use secret software, which count the ballots in secret, and now the people are not even allowed to look at the ballots during that period. So we have to trust in who? The computers and the election officials?
That's right, Brad. What, you got a problem with that?
Yeah, I do. But you know what? I think I'm one of the few people perhaps in this country who do, who really understand what this means. That means there is no oversight. There is no, is there any difference at this point, John Tomasik, than, you know, let's say the election director. And by the way, are the clerks, the county clerks down there, are they elected or appointed down there in Colorado?
The clerks are elected.
Clerks are elected. So let's say they're elected. Let's say it's a. Let's say I'm a Democrat and the clerk is a Republican. Or let's say I'm a Republican and the clerk is a Democrat. Is there any real difference than me going in and just whispering in the ear of the Republican clerk what my choice is, and then entrusting that clerk to report it accurately?
That's only if you don't trust clerks. You have to trust clerks.
No, you don't, John. As a matter of fact, and I was just coming up in the next hour, Ion Sancho is going to join us, and I quoted him already earlier saying, you know, don't trust me. Don't trust anything in an election. If you can't see it, if you can't verify it, it's not to be trusted. So, yeah, I mean, this is essentially that equivalent. The clerk, Republican or Democrat or none of the above, runs this election. And whatever the clerk says, frankly, whatever the clerk says that the computer says, that's what go. Are the people even able to, are the people of Colorado, even able to make public records requests for the poll tapes that at the end of the night print out what the results are theoretically at the end of the night at the precinct? Is that also exempt from public records request under this new bill?
Yeah, I think that that's exempt as well.
Jesus.
There's a wrinkle. There's a wrinkle in this. And first of all, you know, the county clerks, this law was written on behest of the county clerks, introduced on behest of the county clerks.
Uh-huh.
And the county clerks are, you know, in general, laudable, loyal public servants that everyone wants to support and make their work easy.
Uh-huh.
Or at least easier.
Well, I don't know if I want to make their work easy. I want to make their work correct. But yes, they are usually loyal servants. And yes, go ahead.
So their concerns, I think, got a lot of weight, or had a, you know, held a lot of sway with the legislators.
Because they were in favor of this. They were in favor of this bill. Okay, so they were in favor of it. So go ahead.
So they were in favor of the bill, and the man that brought it, Senator Raleigh Heath, is a fairly well-respected and progressive senator from Boulder County.
Uh-huh.
And he's usually very amenable to the public and government watchdog concerns. So all of this seemed very benign, but the process it went through, it was never fully debated. It was kind of sewed onto this other bill at the end of the legislative session due to chaos that happened. So the process was horrible. But all of that said, and, you know, there are a lot of reasons not to like this bill, one of the things that the clerks have said about it, in its defense, is that it sets up an elite class of parties that can actually view the ballot.
Right, them.
It's them, but also representatives of political parties.
Okay.
Representatives of the candidates or the candidates themselves, and representatives of issue committees that might be running ballot initiatives.
Okay.
You know,
right.
So they can inspect the ballots, and this is to give us a measure of comfort that, you know, if both Bush and Gore campaigns can look at the ballots, then surely the count must be accurate, and if they agree to.
John, explain to me, what was the point of this? I mean, what were they trying to do? What ostensibly are they trying to accomplish with this bill? There must be something good that they think they're doing with this bill.
Right. So the problem was that it was never fully debated, as I said, and the clerks and the sponsor of the bill never did the work of persuading the public why this was necessary. But even setting up this elite group of Americans who get to see the bill, which, by the way, is a tiny fraction, of course, of the population.
Right.
People are saying this is a horrible idea in general because it erodes our Colorado Open Records Act. Mm-hmm. You know, you can set up an elite bunch of people who can look at these records, and you can basically block the public from other records, that it's a slippery slope. And there's no need to do any of this. Now, the stated purpose for the bill.
I'm gonna leave it at that cliffhanger. John Tomasik from the Colorado Independent. I gotta get to a break. We're gonna find out what the stated purpose of this stupid bill was in Colorado, the one that keeps the people away from their own elections. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Born in the summer of his 27th year, coming home to a place he'd never been before. He left yesterday behind him. You might say he was born again. You might say he found the key for every door.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. We're never going to get to the part, the Rocky Mountain High part, are we? Yeah. But they must be smoking something out there in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado based on this this unbelievable bill that has just been signed by the Governor John Hickenlooper out there that exempts ballots from public records requests. Essentially makes it so we, the people, cannot see our own ballots to know that they were counted and counted accurately. This is just insane. Absolutely insane to me, as far as I can tell. And as far as John Tomasik of the Colorado Independent is concerned, he seems to be to think it's pretty insane as well. Okay, so he's telling us. So, John, welcome back. We've got just about two or three minutes here. What was the ostensible purpose? What was the reason? What were they trying to do with this absolutely insane, maddening bill? What good thing did they – what problem did they – pretend that they were solving with this?
That's a loaded question.
What's that?
They said that it was to protect against disruptions to the election process, to the work of conducting the elections with integrity. In an interview, Heath, the sponsor, even alluded to the fact that there would be intentional disruptions of the election work that has to be done by the understaffed clerk's offices.
But hang on a second. Disruptions to the election are they talking about? What does that mean?
Well, we didn't understand it either, so we asked around. And off the record, a lot of people said they've never really said what they're talking about. But we suspect that they are looking to protect themselves against overly zealous, and in their words, obsessive, compulsive citizens who are obsessed with elections and results and file these requests too often, and they're afraid that they will be deluged this presidential election, and they want to prevent that from happening.
So overly zealous citizens. I think they're talking about people like me and Marilyn Marx. I think that's about it, because we want to count our ballots. We want to know that they were counted accurately. This is insane. This is an outrage. Colorado, are you listening to what is John Hickenlooper, Republican, I'm guessing?
He's a Democrat.
Oh, way to go, John Hickenlooper. Okay. All right. Why are they talking about – so people wanted him to veto the bill. He didn't. And now Marilyn Marks, who I haven't gotten a chance to talk to her yet about this, but she says that they may be bringing suit, that the law may not go into effect somehow.
Oh, sure. The government watchdogs, election advocates, private citizens are lining up with attorneys to sue, not only because they hate the law, but because how it actually was passed seems to be unconstitutional. It was sewed onto another bill, as I said, in a kind of a rush at the end of the session, and all bills have to be single subject and so on.
But this is crazy. John, I got to get out for the top of the hour. We're going to continue to follow this story. I'm going to continue to follow your coverage of this story over at the Colorado Independent. And folks can follow John on the Twitters at John Tomasic, T-O-M-A-S-I-C. Great to finally talk to you, John. I wish it was under more pleasant circumstances, but it may not ever be with the stuff you and I cover.
Thanks, Brad.
All right. Thanks, John. Keep up the good work. Brad in for Mike Malloy. When we come back, Ion Sancho, the legendary Florida election director, will join us. Maybe he'll have some insight on this. What a mess. Stay with us. To the Mike Malloy Show, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow here for another couple hours, actually all this week, as Mike and Kathy are out enjoying a vacation, and a well-deserved vacation, I should say. And so we are, once again, broadcasting live from the left coast, from the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150, from Stephanie Miller's studio. But don't tell her we were here. Here in Los Angeles, home of the world champion, Los Angeles Kings. I'm just going to say that all week long. You can play along at home by calling us, if you like, at 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. If you have questions about what the hell is going on in the state of Florida, the man to give you the answer to all your questions will be joining us momentarily, Ion Sancho, the great, the legendary election director from Leon County. I will explain why he's legendary in just a moment. But with this fight, and I had to say, I get distracted so easily. You can Twitter us at TheBradBlog, and you can stop by the chat room at bradblog.com. We've got one right up on the first item there. A lot of folks still piling in this evening, but a lively conversation as always. Okay, let's see. Twitter, chat room, phone number, 877-520-1150. All the bases are covered. Okay, now back to Florida. From Colorado down to Florida, as the war on voting and voters continues. You have no doubt heard about Governor Rick Scott's unbelievable assault on voters, as far as I'm concerned, his attempted purge of the voting rolls. He had 180,000 names that were said to be non-citizens who were voting in the state of Florida who needed to be purged from the rolls. Turns out, almost all of them are not non-citizens. In fact, they are citizens. Many of them are heroes, such as 91-year-old World War II veterans. One of them was received a Bronze Star at the Battle of the Bulge, received a letter, was told that if he didn't request an administrative hearing within 30 days, he would be removed from the rolls. This World War II hero who, yes, happens to be a citizen, pretty much like everybody who so far has been on this list. Well, the DOJ, the Department of Justice, has informed the state of Florida that they are in violation of several federal laws, including the National Voter Registration Act, which disallows voters from states from purging their voter rolls within the 90-day period before a federal election. And in fact, Florida has their federal primaries coming up in August, and so they are violating that law. They are violating the Voting Rights Act, which requires covered jurisdictions to get preclearance from the Department of Justice before they change any election laws. And in fact, five counties, I believe, in the state of Florida are covered by Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, which requires them to get preclearance for a change in the law like this, because those five counties and about 16 other states have a history of racial discrimination. And in fact, as we see, many of the folks targeted in this particular purge just happen to have Hispanic surnames. They just happen to be more Democratic than Republican, go figure. And so the DOJ has said, Florida, please stop. Florida has said, no, we're going to continue doing this no matter what. Even though most of our names appear to be citizens after all, we're going to keep going. And we are now going to we are now going to sue the federal government, because the federal government won't give us their database of their immigration database, the Department of Homeland Security. And so now they are suing the federal government to get that database. Well, today we now learn in this roller coaster that the DOJ has said you must now cease and desist from this purge. It's in violation of federal law. And in fact, we are instructing the department to go ahead and file federal suit against the state of Florida immediately if you don't stop. Thankfully, the 67 county supervisors of elections in Florida have said they will no longer, I think most of them have said they will no longer carry out this purge because the names simply are not reliable. Almost all of these folks turn out to be citizens. So far, I think they've found four non-citizens on the roll who might have voted. This out of the 11.4 million voters in the state of Florida. If it's an election year, it's another Florida purge of voters. To talk about all of this, the one guy who I turn to in these years to explain to me what's really going on, Leon County, Florida's Supervisor of Elections, Ion Sancho. So trusted is he by both sides of the aisle that during the nation's most contentious post-election fight, the 2000 Florida presidential recount, they turned to Sancho to put him in charge. Both parties put him in charge of overseeing the statewide recount. The statewide recount, I should add, that never actually happened. But nonetheless, that was what Ion Sancho was put in charge of. He is the, as I say, the supervisor of elections from Leon County, Florida. That's the capital of Florida, Tallahassee. And, well, Ion joins us right now to tell us what the hell is going on in Florida this year. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Good evening. Good evening, Brad.
Good evening. Do we catch you on a cell phone tonight, Ion?
Unfortunately, yes, because okay. My landline went down because of a storm.
Okay, good. Well, do your election, electronic voting systems go down when there's a storm as well, Ion?
Well, actually, no, because they have batteries, and they're supposed to work when the power goes out.
Oh, they're supposed to
work? Supposedly.
How many hours do they work?
Well, actually, they're supposed to work four, but on some of them, you're lucky to get 1 hour out of it.
Lovely. Like Fukushima all over. Okay, Ion, if it's an election year, it's another purge of voter rolls in the state of Florida. And one of these years, Ion, you and I are going to have nothing to talk about. I can't wait till that year happens. This is not one of those years.
No, this is not one of those years. This is a shameful act by our governor, who is doing nothing more than appealing to his base. The governor was one of those individuals that were swept in 2010, largely with a Tea Party base, and I'm not using that term to denigrate the governor. He calls himself a Tea Party governor. So that's his base. He is making much of what, quite frankly, is nothing. Because Florida's database is one of the best databases in the country. Basically, we estimate it over 95% accurate. 95% accurate, as you mentioned, it does contain 11.4 million active voters. For example, I don't really ascribe to this philosophy that's being imposed upon us, but the state is making legal voters prove that they're legal voters, or you will be removed, i.e., the burden is not on us to prove that you're guilty. The burden is on you to prove you are innocent. And that is un-American, Brad.
And you had, in these cases, you were instructed to send out letters to these voters who were, you know, potential non-citizens. They were given 30 days. It's summertime, Ion. If somebody goes out of town for a month, they receive this letter while they're out of town, so they never see it. If they don't respond, what are you, as a supervisor of elections, supposed to do? What are you required to do at that point?
Well, this is a touchy subject because we're required to do nothing. Let me underline it. We're required to do nothing. The process is if we received accurate information and we act on it, we can be...
Hang on, Ion. You seem to be breaking up a little bit. Let's try that again. If you receive accurate information,
you can remove the voter if you believe that the information is credible.
Uh-huh.
And the voter does not respond, and you offer the voter the chance to go to an administrative hearing.
Okay.
But and this is a big but, the state did not properly inform the supervisors of their ability not to remove the voter.
So you have election clerks down there who believe that if they do not hear back from these voters that receive these letters, that they must remove them from the rolls? That was the miscommunication that was sent to some of the election clerks down there in Florida?
Yes. That was what they were told when they were given a purported sample letter. Except that the supervisor of elections revolted, Brad. And at our annual conference, when we had the division director mm-hmm. of the elections in Florida, we queried her, and her lawyer was forced to admit that if you don't think the information is
Okay, you know what? Hang on, Ion. Let's see if you get a better connection over the break. I got to take a break anyway, so we'll find out what the election clerks are saying. I got to get to a break, so hang on. We're speaking with Ion Sancho, clearly in the middle of a magnetic storm down there in Florida. We'll see if we can get a better connection in a second. We'll take a break. And if you'd like to ring in on this topic, 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. If you have any questions about what the hell is going on in Florida, and if voters there are going to be able to vote this year. Brad in for Mike Malloy, hopefully back with Ion Sancho in just a moment. Please stay with us.
The circus is in town. Here comes the blind commissioner. They've got him in a trance.
There's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather.
That song is dedicated to our guest, Ion Sancho, down in the Florida storm tonight, an Ion storm. As we're trying to keep him on his cell phone and talk about this mess that's going on in the state of Florida. The Leon County, Florida Supervisor of Elections. Let's see. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad in for Mike. And let's see if we've got Ion. All right, Ion, any better connection?
I don't know. Is it?
Yes. Okay, a little bit better. Don't move. Don't move a hair. Okay, so explain now what the election supervisors are doing, the misunderstanding that some of them were having, and if, in fact, all 67 of them are now declining to carry out this purge that is being ordered by Republican Governor Rick Scott.
Well, a majority of the supervisors are not going to proceed at all, but I am aware of three out of the 67 counties are proceeding, and they were basically told that they had to,
But under questioning from Supervisor of Elections at our recent conference, we received contradictory information. We were told that we didn't have to remove them if we did not feel that the quality of information was good, and it's not. As you correctly noted, that most of these individuals so far that have been checked are American citizens, legal citizens, and perfectly legal to vote. But they're receiving these intimidating letters that have been written by the Division of Elections, which really don't accurately reflect our laws, and it's a problem. And there's no reason that it should be handled this way unless you want to cause confusion to the voters.
Ion, what are those three counties where they say they are going to continue this purge anyway?
They're all basically Republican-dominated counties. They are Lee County, Collier County, and Bay County at this point. Bay is up in the panhandle, and it's a very conservative area. And the other two counties are overwhelmingly Republican counties. And what the governor has done here is essentially hold Tea Party rallies across the state starting this weekend. And he's having Tea Party individuals send letters demanding that action be taken.
Okay. Go ahead.
The form letters, and they actually are from Freedom Work. You know who Freedom Work is.
Freedom Works are the Koch brothers.
That's it.
Is this public information, as far as you know, that Lee County, Collier County, and Bay County intend to continue this purge, despite the fact that the DOJ is now filing a lawsuit, despite the fact that the ACLU is filing a lawsuit, despite the fact that they're alleging that they're in violation of the National Voter Registration Act, in violation of the Voting Rights Act? Has this information come out yet that Lee, Collier, and Bay intend to continue the purge nonetheless?
Yes, I read about it in the newspaper.
Okay, good.
And so it is public information, and I think it's one of the reasons why the Department of Justice acted so quickly to bring a lawsuit to the process.
Good. And they need to be stopped. They need to be enjoined. This seems to me to be insane, Ion Sancho. Listen, I know that you're up against it down there with the weather and the cell phone. I'm up against it with the clock, but I got some folks who would love to ask you some questions on the phone. Are you able to hang with us for the next part of the hour there?
Absolutely. As long as you can hear me, I'll talk.
All right. As long as you don't move. I can hear you.
Right.
Stay put. Ion Sancho, the election director from the Leon County, Florida, Tallahassee, the capital, the great Ion Sancho. He's going to stay with us to take your calls. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. What's the matter with Florida now? Brad, in for Mike Malloy. Republican governor of Florida, Rick Scott, is fighting the law. We'll see who wins. Will he win or will the law win? The National Voting Registration Act, the Voting Rights Act. The DOJ is taking it to the state of Florida over their this outrageous purge. They do this every year. They did this back in 2000. They put some 94,000 felons, quote-unquote felons, on a purge list. Of course, most of them were not felons at all. They added another 48,000 felon voters in 2004. In 2005, the GOP-controlled state legislature passed a no-match, no-vote law. In other words, if your name didn't match perfectly with state databases, you could also be purged. And now we're seeing it again. The state of Florida is now coming up with a new reason to remove people, legal voters, from the voting rolls, claiming they are non-citizens when they are not. This is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, speaking with the legendary election director, supervisor of elections down in Leon County, Florida, Ion Sancho, who, as I say, was so entrusted by both parties that he was put in charge of the 2000 Clinton aborted 2000 presidential recount down there in Florida, and sounds to me like he's hopping mad about this latest purge that the governor is trying to do. By the way, if you have a question for Ion, 877-520-1150 is our number. 877-520-1150 if you want to get in now. Okay, Ion, there's another issue going on in the state of Florida right now, as usual. And this is the new registration restrictions that the GOP put in place last year. Onerous restrictions, big fines for registration workers, you know, if they don't turn in their registrations within 48 hours to the minute. And it led the League of Women Voters down there in Florida to cancel their registration drive for the first time in 70 years. A judge has now ordered that these restrictions be ended, calling them onerous, calling them unlawful. In fact, has this had an effect? Are those restrictions now set aside, or are they still being enforced? Is this another case where the state is still enforcing a law? These scoff laws in the governor's office and in the State Department, are they still enforcing it, or have the restrictions on registration now been restored?
Most of the restrictions have been removed on third-party voter registration, so
good,
that citizens can register their friends and neighbors. But I do know that the League of Women Voters is going to go back to the same federal judge, Judge Hinkle, and basically ask him to clarify some issues that they believe have been overlooked. So there's going to be more litigation, but it was certainly a welcome response. And let me tell you, third-party voter registration is critical in Florida. Florida is a very transient state, and third-party voter registrations add tens of thousands of registered voters to the Leon County rolls, for example.
Mm-hmm.
In 2004, 22,000, or 15% of our entire voter registration rolls were added by third-party activities. And in 2008, 13% or 28,000 new voters were added to the rolls as a result of third-party voter registration. And it's very clear that the state doesn't want new voters added to the rolls. And the best way to do that is make it unlawful for people helping other people to register to vote. Now, which is great, except that it's completely un-American.
And it resulted in, you know, high school teachers who had registered their own students to vote, you know,
in civics class, if you can believe that.
They were being turned in and arrested, charged under this new law. The Judge Hinkle, U.S. District Court judge down there, in fact, said he couldn't figure out a reason, a logical reason for this law other than keeping people from registering to vote, period. Was there what was the ostensible reason that the Republicans had put forward? What was the problem they claimed to be solving with this law?
Well, it was a moving target. First, they were claiming voter fraud. But when we ask for examples of voter fraud, they couldn't come up with any. And so they've changed it to they're protecting against future potential voter fraud. That's their new line now.
So
if they can't prove that any existed, we're going to prevent that the non-existent thing will take place in the future by doing this.
And it was cutting in. Listen, League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan organization. You know, it wasn't like they're going out and registering a lot of Democrats, but it seems to me that the Republicans are just concerned that the more voters there are, the harder the more difficult it is for them to win elections. It seems as simple as that, right?
Simple as that, because demographically their base is dying out, and so they don't want any more registrations added, because the more registrations that are added, those voters tend to be younger, more diverse, and that's not the GOP base here in Florida.
Ion Sancho, what is your 28th amendment that you would like to see added to the Constitution of the United States of America?
Well, I would like to see every American guaranteed the right to vote, guaranteed their right to vote in the national constitution, because given the direction of states' rights activism here, sort of a return to a pre-Civil War state, most people are not aware that their right to votes are only protected by states. constitutions. There's nothing in the federal constitution that guarantees any American citizen the right to have their vote for president counted. And that's what allows the states, like Florida, to keep interfering with citizens' legitimate voter interests.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, only the National Voter Registration Act and the Voting Rights Act are preventing the kind of insidious discrimination that once was commonly practiced here in Florida and across most of the South.
And that act itself, the Voting Rights Act, is now under attack by the states and the county jurisdictions who are covered by that law. They think the law itself is discriminatory. They want to get rid of the Voting Rights Act, the one thing that it seems to me, that gives voters, at least in some of these jurisdictions, a fighting chance for the Department of Justice to come in and make sure that they can vote. Now, you want told me, Ion Sancho. And by the way, we're speaking with Ion Sancho. If you haven't seen HBO's Hacking Democracy, 2006 Emmy-nominated documentary, where we get to see an electronic voting system made by Diebold, actually an optical scan system made by Diebold, where an election official holds a mock election, and we see before our eyes paper ballots fed into the op scanner. We know what the result should be of this election, and then the tape prints out at the end, and the results are completely flipped. That election official who oversaw that mock election in that documentary is my guest right now, Ion Sancho. And if you haven't seen that, you know, go to YouTube and just look up Hacking Democracy 9 of 9. That's the ninth part of this film that's been posted at YouTube. You will be horrified by what you see. Now, Ion, you have been fighting with the state of Florida, I know, for years to have an election system, a voting system, that could be overseen not only by you, the election official, but by we, the people. How's that going? Have they allowed you to, have a hand-counted paper ballots down there, or is that something that you would even want?
Well, first off, hand-counted paper ballots in state of Florida are illegal. The only results that are legally acceptable are those that come off a voting machine. That's where Florida's laws are now. These laws were rewritten after the 2000 election by the Republican legislature, and they're really a sad state of affairs. There's no such thing as a recount, for example. If the race is extremely close, say 0.5%,
mm-hmm.
you can only manually examine those ballots which cannot be read by the voting machine. So you just have to assume, i.e. faith-based voting, that everything on the voting machine is correct. And now we're going to examine less than 0.1% of the ballots, because that's typically what the machines don't read.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to settle anything. The issue is you have to verify. There is no verification in most states in the United States of America, and we are playing with fire.
And Ion, I drive people crazy trying to explain that point. I drove people crazy last night talking about Wisconsin and the fact that they don't check a single paper ballot. Many of those ballots, by the way, run through the very same machines that you use, that we got to see in the film Hacking Democracy. They don't check a single paper ballot to make sure that the scanner registered it correctly. And your colleague down in Palm Beach County, Susan Booker, who I spoke with a few weeks ago, actually a couple of months ago now, because she had an election down there where a number of the races, the computer system, in this case, OpScan system made by Sequoia, had named losers, losing candidates, to be the winners. And she told me that the only reason she found out afterwards is because Florida now mandates a 2%, and you can help me on this, make sure I got it right, a 2% post-election audit of the paper ballots to make sure that the computers got it right. Is that correct in that 2%?
It is a 2% or one precinct. So it's a very tiny one race, one precinct out of that race operation.
What do you mean 2% or one precinct?
2% of the registered voters or one precinct is what is the actual audit.
Who's that up? Who decides that? Which if it's 2% or one, a single precinct?
Well, essentially, it almost almost always works out to 2% to equal one precinct, in at least in Leon County. In larger jurisdictions, it might be different. But quite frankly, this audit, which Susan did, and by the way, she wasn't required to do because it was a municipal election, but she did it anyway because she's a very conscientious supervisor of elections, and she wanted to get it right. She did a non-required audit at her own behest, and she discovered that the numbers were not correct, and she informed the candidates, and quite frankly, the state was very, very slow in coming to her defense. And the defense is that this system that we're talking about, the Sequoia system, has been proven all across the country to be a disastrous system. It's banned in California. And after it was banned in California, we've conducted 5 more elections on it in the state of Florida.
And it was also used, by the way, still used up there in the state of Wisconsin. And this is what I try to tell people. Now, Ion Sancho, if Susan Booker, the supervisor of elections down there in Palm Beach County, Florida, had not taken upon herself to do that 2% post-election audit of those paper ballots in the election, and we're talking in March, just this 2 months ago or whatever, these same machines, by the way, are going to be used this November all over the country, including in Florida. If she had not done that audit, what would have happened? Those 3 candidates would have been certified even though they lost the election?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. And once they were certified, here's a really interesting quirk in Florida law. If they had truly been certified and this had been a state primary or a state general election,
yeah.
Florida law does not allow you to correct the voting totals if the voting machines make a mistake, because the Republicans took that out of the law in 2002. It's not one of the reasons you can only allege fraud. If you can prove fraud, then you can, by the elections official, then you can get an examination of a true count. But if you can't allege fraud, i.e., if the voting machine simply breaks down, that's not reviewable by the courts in Florida.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Ion Sancho, stick with us for one more segment here. I want to ask you about hand-counted paper ballots, and we will get to some calls. 877-520-1150. Brad in for Mike Malloy with the great Ion Sancho. Stay with us.
I never lost control. Your face.
Love my girl. She looking good. Come on. One more.
5-1, baby. 1 in 5. No one here gets out alive now.
Yeah, you know what? I gotta tell you, my computer is hanging. I was going to use some really ugly words in the chat room right now because I am furious at this conversation. I feel a rant coming on. Hang on for the next hour. I think it may be coming. This stuff makes me absolutely insane. But I'm not gonna. I'm gonna hold it back. Hold it back until the next hour when Ion's not with us. Ion Sancho is my guest, supervisor of elections in Leon County, Florida. Telling you all the stuff that I have been trying to tell you for so many years about our election system and how insane this is. It's our last segment here with Ion, and I know there's a lot of people on the call on the phone for him. 877-520-1150. We'll see how many calls I can get in very quickly. Ion, you're not allowed to hand count your paper ballots down there in the state of Florida. It's against the law. Is there any better way to count ballots to know for a fact that which human being actually won this race than to have human beings count the paper ballots on election night at the precinct in front of the public, all the parties, all the video cameras and everything else? Is there any more way that we can have better verification and transparency in our electoral system than that?
Well, certainly a hand count is completely possible in most of the jurisdictions in the United States. The problem with a hand count are in those kinds of jurisdictions that are twice the size of Leon County and above.
Why?
New York City,
why?
Well, because
simply the logistical nightmare of keeping the chain of custody proper during this process. And human beings, and here's, I've got to make this point, human beings make counting errors. And when you do human checkers, mm-hmm. you need to have multiple sets of human checkers. So you just simply can't have one or two people count the ballots. You're going to need to have another set of checkers counting that, the double check that what they're doing has been proper, and you might have to do a third team. But there, one of the things that we're looking at here in Leon County is saying, is there a software independent process that we can apply to speed this process up that would provide the transparency that we must have to know that our votes are counted properly? There are some experiments going around the country. Clear Ballot is an experimental company that's looking at essentially refeeding the ballots through high-speed scanners to essentially check the voting machine's numbers.
Great. More secret vote counting, Ion. Listen,
But it's not secret in this case because this system takes a picture of every vote, every oval, every race, and depicts it on the screen as it has seen it. So, for example, one of the things that helps elections officials is the vast majority of votes are no problem because either there are votes or there are no votes. It's the with optical scan devices, so it's that intermediate area. And what this does is this system essentially takes the picture of every vote cast in every race, breaks it down by contest, and then you can and numbers it. So, for example, you mentioned about a secret process. If you say, I want to challenge this ballot, that ballot is locatable, and it's right on the sort of the picture of that ballot. You can go back to the original box that ballot is in.
Ion,
pull it out and say, this is, in fact,
a
true vote.
I got to get out. I tell you, I can game that system. I'm going to come back after the break. I know you got to go. Ion Sancho, thank you for your time. I'll tell you how I can game that system and how we can hand count, even in places like New York. Thanks, Ion.
Take care.
All right. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow in for Mike Malloy this week, who happens to be on a much-needed vacation, maybe, rumor has it, in the state of Florida. Florida! So I'm in for Mike Malloy. You can give me a call at 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. We are broadcasting live as the sun sets on the left coast out here in beautiful downtown Burbank. We will go to Desi, stand by. We're going to do some green news shortly. We are going to get to your calls. I'm sorry that I didn't get to any of the folks who I know wanted to talk to Ion. If you want to hang on the line, I will try to field your calls. We'll try to get everybody in this hour. But I got to tell you, that conversation with Ion, who is Ion Sancho, election supervisor from Leon County, Florida, the guy so entrusted, as I said, so entrusted by both parties that he was put in charge of the 2000 presidential recount across the state in Florida. The one that never happened. Nonetheless, there he is telling you exactly what I've been trying to tell you. Now, look, I could talk. There's so many other. You want to talk? What do you want to talk about? Mitt Romney's a billionaire. He's got a garage elevator, whatever. Barack Obama is made a gaffe. Barack Obama is targeting U.S. citizens. Oh, I'll talk about that. We'll talk about that this week. But, you know, what matters here? What matters? I mean, if you watch cable television, it is hour after hour after hour of crap, of BS, of polls. Who's leading here? Who's leading there? Who's leading down in the important swing state of Florida? Who's leading in the important swing state of Ohio? What the hell does it matter who is leading? If the people can't vote, and if their votes cannot be counted and counted accurately, and at the end of the day, if you and me and all the citizens of this great land can't know that those ballots were counted accurately. And the reason I was getting furious while talking to Ion is because he wasn't telling me that I was crazy. And I am begging someone to tell me, Brad, dude, you're nuts, man. Chill. Everything's cool, man. These machines work fine. No, they don't work fine. And no, these election officials don't tell me that. They come on the air and say, yeah, you know what? We have no idea. Down in Palm Beach County, Florida, if she didn't get lucky down there like a needle in the haystack and happened to, check the one precinct that showed her that these machines were counting the election wrong, then these three candidates who actually lost the race would have become the winners of the race, and there wouldn't have been a goddamn thing that anybody in the state of Florida could have done about it. Doesn't this matter? Am I nuts? Tell me that I'm nuts. Tell me that this stuff doesn't matter. I could talk about, you want to talk about the polls? I could, look, it's a tie. It's a tie. It's very close. White voters prefer Mitt Romney. The black voters prefer Barack Obama. Is that what you want to talk about? Because, you see, none of that matters at the end of the day if we don't have elections that actually work. You can't change your government. And I'm talking to you, Republicans. I'm talking to you, Democrats, Independents, Greens, Libertarians. I believe tomorrow night we're going to have Doug Weed on, who is an advisor to Ron Paul's people. I mentioned this last night. We had hoped to have him on tonight. I think we'll have him tomorrow night. The Ron Paul people... Say what you will about them. Say what you will about Ron Paul. I don't care. I don't give a damn about the politics at this point. This is about the democracy. Say what you will about them. They are standing up. I'm telling you, they're standing up at Republican conventions, county conventions, state conventions. They're getting arrested. They're getting their hips broken by the establishment who's trying to come in and push them out while they're in there exercising democracy. While they're showing up at these county conventions as the majority in state after state choosing their delegates to go on to the national convention. If you think Tampa is going to be dull this year, the RNC, if you think it's going to be a coronation of Mitt Romney, think again. Think again. I don't know what they have planned. But there could be some surprises down in Tampa, and you will have heard it here first. Because those guys are out there fighting for their goddamn democracy and their goddamn right to vote. And everyone is, standing around like this is, nothing. Who cares? Why bother? Why bother? Oh, both parties. Well, you know what? Both parties are corrupt, so we're not going to bother to vote at all. Well, it's up to you if you want to vote. I don't care if you vote. But if you don't vote, then bad guys don't need to steal your vote. You're giving it to them. You're giving it to them. Which is your right to do, and I will protect your right to not vote as well. But if you want to go vote, it needs to be counted accurately, and counted in a way that we can all know it has been counted accurately. Yes, this stuff matters. At least it matters more than everything else that doesn't matter if we don't get this one right. Do you guys get that? Do you guys understand? I am begging, I wish, again, Ion, I wanted him to call me crazy. Dude, you're nuts. Everything's fine. But that never happens. Day after day after day, I read news stories. Go to bradblog.com. Read the story that I posted yesterday there about Montana. Another optical scan voting system. This one, again, made by ES&S. Three different counties across Montana last Tuesday, on the same day that Wisconsin was having their recall election, they couldn't scan these ballots in Montana in three different counties. Why? Because, as the company tells us, ES&S is the company, the largest voting system company in the country, they tell us that, the ink was too dark on the ballots. What? The ink that the printer used to print the ballots was too dark. And that was counting all the ballots as overvotes or something. That was their explanation in any case. So what to think about that? What does that mean? You're a bad guy? You want to game the election? Have the printer print one of the ovals darker than all the others. The oval that is your candidate. The one you want to win the election. If somebody fills in that oval, fine, no problem. That oval will be accounted for your candidate. If somebody votes for the opponent, well, now it'll look like there's two votes. It'll be an overvote. Throw it out. The opponent's vote will be lost. Oh, and if they choose to not vote in the race at all, instead of an undervote, the darkened oval for your candidate that hasn't been filled in, but it's dark enough, that candidate will get the vote. It's a new vector for stealing goddamn elections. And guess what? That can only happen if we use optical scan computers and we don't bother to count the ballots by human beings. Now, Ion, and here's a place where Ion and I disagree. And I don't know that we disagree. We're still trying to talk this through. I think he's wrong here on this point. He said that it's that hand-counting paper ballots at the precinct, in front of the public, in front of the parties, in front of the video cameras, posting the results at the precinct before those ballots move anywhere, that would work fine in his county of Leon County, Tallahassee, Florida, or other small rural areas around the nation. But it wouldn't work in New York. It wouldn't work out here in Los Angeles. I don't know that that's the case. He talked about counting, that people make mistakes. Yes, they do. That you would have to have one, more than one person counting. Yes, of course you would. And I'm going to have to talk to Ion about how they do it up in New Hampshire, where they have teams of four people counting. One person looks at the ballot, says, yes, this is candidate A. The other person sitting next to them says, yep, that's a vote for candidate A. They announce a vote for candidate A. The person across the table writes it down. One vote for candidate A. The person sitting next to that person says, yep, that's what he wrote. One vote for candidate A. Four people have now counted it. And they've all checked and balanced the other. And if that's not enough checks and balance, you have the political parties there. You have video cameras rolling. The entire public can sit there and watch. There are other methods, of course. Last week up there in Wisconsin, where you had, in most of the state, you had just two people on the two races on the ballot, the governor and the lieutenant governor. Separate the ballots into two stacks. One for Scott Walker, one for Tom Barrett. And then count how many ballots are in each stack. How hard is that? This is not rocket science. This is adding one plus one plus one. It's a democracy. It's self-governance. It's not Sequoia governance. It's not Diebold governance. It's not ESNS governance. I swear to God, if I pop a vein tonight, I hope you people will pick up this ball and run with it, because I don't know how much more noise I can make about this. It has been 10 years since I have been trying to tell this story. And it ain't getting better. It's getting worse. Join me, people, before I do pop a vein. Brad Friedman, in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Cause I'm the one who's gonna show when there's nobody. I'll be your man.
The Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war. What's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Yeah, you don't believe it. I hope we're not. I hope we're not. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. My thanks, by the way, to everyone in the bradblog.com chat room for your support during that righteous rant. I don't know where it came from. It came from nowhere. But I'll tell you what, man, I just, you know, I wish one of these guys would just say, dude, you're a conspiracy theorist. What's wrong with you? But they don't. They never do. They say, yeah, you're right. We use these machines. They're crap. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. We'll get to Desi Doyen and the Green News after the bottom of the hour. All you guys have been waiting on hold for so long, so let me get to some calls. Maybe you guys could talk me off the ledge. Flo in Minneapolis, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Thank you for hanging on so long there.
Hi, Brad.
Hi, Flo.
Enjoying your broadcast.
Thank you.
If you can call it enjoyment. I have a rant coming on.
Uh-oh.
I vividly remember the interrupted by court order recount in Florida in Bush v. Gore. And when finally a group of newspapers and wire services sued and got the right to do the recount long after the fact, leaving us with a president select by the court rather than elect by the people, they completed the full recount of Florida.
And what did they find, Flo, when they actually counted
that
the ballots?
Gore won.
Imagine that.
By
every standard, hanging chads, swinging chads, pregnant chads, no matter how you counted
dimple
it, dimple chads,
you know, whatever. Yeah.
Al Gore won.
And, hello.
Yeah.
And I would like to suggest a remedy.
What is it?
That we Democrats, and I am a proud, progressive, radical Democrat. I'm out there to the left of Bernie Sanders. I would suggest that we adopt one of the famous platform phrases of Ronald Reagan.
And what is that, Flo?
Trust but verify.
Verify? Are you crazy? In the state of Florida, you can't verify.
The whole thing with nukes
yes.
and the then Soviet Union and Reagan with the Republicans cheering, you know, trust but verify. Well, I suggest we adopt it, apply it to our own elections, and suggest quite simply that the only way to verify is to have transparent access to paper ballots.
Counted. Thank you, Flo. Now, here's what I want you to do, and I got to let you go because I got a lot of callers, but you're awesome, and I want you to take that message of trust but verify as far left to the left of Bernie Sanders that you say you are, and take it to a fellow Republican where you are. Build the coalition with Republicans here because this is not a left and right issue. Take Ronald Reagan's trust but verify and take
it
to
down their throat.
There you go. No, don't shove it down their throat. Welcome them with you to trust but verify. Flo, thanks. I got to run. You got it absolutely right. We got to get out of this mess. They ain't going to do it for us. And unless we can verify our own elections, we are screwed. Do I have time, Tony? One more call. No, I guess I don't. Okay. You guys on there, hang on the line. We're going to come back. We're going to do some green news. We're going to do it as fast as we can. Poor Desi. I'll have to break the news to her. She's going to have to hurry. And then we're going to get to all your calls, every single one of them. So get your question, get it together tight and sharp and fast for these, your public airwaves, so we can tell the story about what needs to happen on what is left of your public airwaves. Oh, by the way, caller wants to know who couldn't hang on, wants Brad to be heard on other shows like Randy Rhodes and Bill Press. Bill Press, he's on too early in the morning. I'm on the West Coast. I ain't doing his show. Randy, I'll do hers anytime. She knows the score. She gets my bradblog.com alerts. She knows what's going on. Always happy to do Randy's show. did Ed Schultz today. Keep up the fight.
Get along and so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that. We'll be right back.
This is your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. We will get to your calls, I do promise. Everything's behind. And it's my fault. Sorry. Desi Doyen. Hey, Des.
Hey, that was rant-tastic.
Oh, well, thank you very rant. Desi, of course, is the producer of our broadcast here and my co-host and the managing editor of the Green News Report, which we're going to play momentarily. I was reminded, however, that this week we hope to have Rick Piltz, who formerly worked for the Bush administration or worked during the Bush administration, who was a whistleblower, who I interviewed on my show back in 2005. After he had come out and said, hey, the administration is removing all references to global warming from their scientific reports. And at the time, nobody would cover it. I was like the only guy on the air who had Rick Piltz on. I haven't spoken to him since 2005. Going to see how things worked out. See if things got any better since then. Okay, we got some green news here?
Yes, we got a lot of green news. We should get right to it.
Get right to it so then we can get to the calls. And, it's a crazy train of a green news report. Bring it on, Tony.
It's Tuesday, June 12, 2012.
In the words of the sheriff, Kathy, this fire is running crazy.
Raging wildfires turn deadly in the West. New studies predict more frequent wildfires in coming years.
He says we need more firemen, more policemen. It's time for us to cut back on government.
While Mitt Romney campaigns against hiring more firefighters. Republicans banish the words rising sea level, plus...
It's a glimpse of what our new normal may look like in the not-so-distant future.
The hottest spring on record for the U.S.
All of that and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and... snarky comment.
It's a shame that we're still stuck in this fake debate in the public discourse about whether the problem is even real when we could be having that worthy debate about what to do about the problem.
Hey, Michael Mann, respected climate scientist, if it wasn't for fake debates, we wouldn't have any debates at all. This is your Green News Report. Okay, nothing fake about Desi Doyen and the wildfires that are running out of control now in Colorado as we're seeing yet another crazy wildfire season underway earlier than ever this year.
Yes, it's off to a roaring and record start.
The fire is growing and there is, quote, no hope for containment right now.
In addition to the largest wildfire in state history now burning in New Mexico, in Colorado, one resident is now confirmed dead from the out-of-control High Park wildfire that broke out over the weekend 40 miles west of Fort Collins, Colorado. It's now over 41,000 acres and 0% contained. A record warm winter and spring means the forests are tinder dry, according to fire management officials.
So even though that fuel looks green, normally wouldn't burn this time of year, is burning very well. And that's why we're getting this aggressive and active fire behavior that we are.
State officials across the West are calling for more federal support in fighting these raging wildfires, even as congressional Republicans are proposing cuts to the Forest Service's firefighting budget. While GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney campaigned last week against hiring firefighters.
He wants to hire more government workers. He says we need more firemen, more policemen, more teachers. Did he not get the message of Wisconsin? The American people did. It's time for us to cut back on government and help the American people.
So state officials in Colorado are begging for more federal firefighters going on here. And Mitt Romney is out on the trail saying, we need fewer firefighters.
Yes, that's exactly what he said.
That is exactly. It's amazing.
That is today's Republican Party. They do seem to be hell-bent on cutting as much government as possible, no matter who it hurts.
You know, we have been doing this Green News Report now for some 3 years. It gets worse and worse each and every year. We see these fire seasons like this. And now you've got Republicans actually calling for cuts to the one thing that can combat the problem that they are unwilling to do anything about. This is just, it's amazing, Des.
And the long-term projections for wildfires are not encouraging. Two new studies out this week indicate that, first, rising temperatures and shifting precipitation patterns will likely cause a marked increase in the frequency of wildfires in the U.S. and Europe over the next 30 years. And the second study of regional temperature trends in the U.S. shows that the already dry and hot Southwest is the fastest warming region
in the U.S., warming faster than the rest of the country. The record warm winter and spring this year means that NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, announced this week it was indeed the warmest spring in U.S. history. And the last 12 months have been the hottest 12-month stretch on record in the U.S. And 2012 is already shaping up to be the warmest year on record for the entire planet.
We're number one.
In an interview with the Weather Channel, climate scientist Michael Mann, author of the famous hockey stick temperature graph, says that without action to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, this trend shows no sign of stopping.
Hey, wasn't Michael Mann the scientist who was caught in the ClimateGate scandal faking climate data?
He was caught up in that ClimateGate scandal, but he faked nothing. So says five independent science panels.
Well, independent is just another word for left wing, at least if you're in Virginia.
Yes. Apparently, Virginia Republicans are going to rewrite the words of science following on the heels of North Carolina's Republican state legislature last week attempting to ban the use of science in predicting sea level rise. Virginia's state Republicans are going a step further, deleting the very words sea level rise from planning documents for future coastal development. They call them liberal code words. Sea levels are currently predicted to rise 3 feet by the end of this century, but in Virginia, that will be called recurrent flooding.
So you have a right-wing legislator actually on record saying that sea level rise is a left-wing code word?
A liberal code word.
A liberal code word. Here's another liberal code word. Dude, you're crazy. For more on the crazy that we covered today and all the crazy we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. You can download our reports anytime via iTunes. You can listen to us on your mobile device via Stitcher Radio. And you can follow us 24/7 on the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your liberally code-worded Green News Report.
I'm going!
So many opportunities to use that song.
Oh, no, yeah. We would play that every single Green News Report if we could. Good job, Des. Good report. I chat about you. Oh, you got any follow-up?
I just want to
here?
Say really quick, be sure to check yesterday's post on the Green News Report, and also check tomorrow's Green News Report, because we're going to talk about two important studies. One, a study published in the journal Nature about how we are approaching a shift change in the Earth's biosphere. It's a new study where they've examined Earth's ancient geologic past, and they say this is getting dangerous, folks.
Oh, okay. Something else we can ignore. And I would, you know, I'd ask you to elucidate tomorrow, but you're not going to be here because you're doing the Young Turks tomorrow?
Yes, and it will be posted on Thursday. I'll be doing The Point.
So you're not even going to be producing at all?
No, Margo will be here instead.
Oh, great.
And she's doing an awesome job.
Oh, great.
Everybody say, yay, Margo.
It's going to be a disaster. Thanks, Des.
Thank you.
Good job. We'll see you, I guess, Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get to those phones. As promised, thank you guys for holding so long. Let me get to Mark in I forgot how to do this. Mark in Seattle. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Mark.
Hi, Brad. It's good to hear you on the air again, covering for Mike. It's always good to hear folks speaking the truth.
Thank you, sir.
I'm actually a journalist writing for the Huffington Post and some other alternative media. I'm also a member of the Occupy Seattle Media Working Group, so a lot of your audience knows who I am because I've been a regular contributor.
Superb.
But I wanted to let it – I'm sorry?
Superb. Glad to hear that.
I wanted to let everybody know that this week is Citizens United Resolutions Week. And that means that all around the country, city councils, county councils, state legislatures are trying to pass resolutions to overturn the Citizens United decision. And I also wanted to let folks know that Occupy caravans are leaving the West Coast for Washington, D.C., and the National Gathering in Philadelphia on July 4th. But the issue of counting ballots is one of the reasons that I think a lot of the participants in the Occupy Wall Street movement are very wary of getting involved in electoral politics because between the Citizens United case, the purges of the voting registry, the issue of accountability and hacking and counting the votes, most of the activists are pretty much fed up with the whole electoral system. So I wouldn't interpret their lack of involvement in electoral politics as a lack of commitment or power, but as a conscious choice based partly on what happened with the Tea Party when it was co-opted by the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself attended the Washington State Democratic convention, party convention here in Seattle last week, and although the Progressive Caucus cheered my speech about the Occupy Wall Street movement, the leadership, I have to say, is pretty much committed to accepting Wall Street money and ignoring the grassroots because they're in a billion-dollar race.
So, okay, let me, Mark, speak to a couple of points there. One, yeah, that's the establishment Democratic Party, the leadership you talk about. Listen to tomorrow night's show. Hopefully Doug Weed will be with us here. I'm going to talk about what some of these Ron Paul folks are doing. You can go to bradblog.com and look at some of these videos. They don't give a damn what the leadership of their party is doing. And I'm not talking about the co-opted Tea Party, the fake Tea Party. I'm talking about the real Tea Party, the Ron Paul Republicans who are out there with their tri-corner hats throwing tea into the river back in 2007, calling out George W. Bush. They are not taking this crap. They are taking over these parties. And when, you know, Occupy chooses to stay out of this, when they say, you know what, pox on both of their houses, we don't trust the voting machines, you know what? You shouldn't trust them. The occupiers ought to be occupying the precinct. They ought to be, you know, raising hell outside every clerk's office in the country, demanding to oversee their own elections. They have the numbers. They need to turn out. It makes me a little bit crazy when I see them saying, oh, we don't want to have anything to do with politics. There was a candidate out here, David Levitt, who was running for the U.S. Senate out here on the California ballot. He could have, because of our new top two primary system out here in California. Well, we knew Dianne Feinstein was going to win. This was last week. But the second slot was wide open. And you had David Levitt, who was actually an occupier out in New York, a real occupier. You know, he was out there in Zuccotti Park. He's now running for Senate. And he tried to reach out to the folks, the Occupy LA folks. And they said, you know what, we don't want to be involved with politics. Well, here they had one of their own trying to take over the system from the inside. You know, say what you wish about the Tea Party, and yes, they were co-opted by, you know, the billionaire Koch brothers and all the rest, but they got inside. However they did it, they got inside, and they have changed the Republican Party. Yes, they've made them crazy, well, crazier, but they have changed the party. If the occupiers chose to do that, or at the very least chose to show up and fight for every party to make sure that every voter can vote and every vote was counted, then I believe that they would be moving the ball forward, Mark.
Well, I can't disagree with you. I have to say, though, that there is a big influence on local, state, and community government around the country because of the Occupy Wall Street movement. So I think a lot of the influence and the pressure on the Democrats and Republicans is coming from the streets and coming from local community councils, city councils, mm-hmm. you know, because there are councils all over the country, including here in Seattle, who have passed in sweeping endorsements of the Occupy Wall Street movement. In fact, the Seattle City Council has promised to look into divesting their money, you know, from these Wall Street banks. So I think it's what I'm seeing is that it's more of a grassroots effort.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering what's going to happen, you know, on July 4th in Philadelphia when folks meet there. I know that one of the things that they're thinking about is, you know, declaring some kind of a declaration of independence from corporate influence on the political system. So it's not that they're not aware of what's happening with the political system and are not against it and want to change it. I think they're just feeling kind of powerless to use the political system itself at this point.
You know what? I hear you, Mark. And I got
outside pressure.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But they're not powerless. They make themselves powerless when they give up their power. You don't win a fight by not fighting that fight. And I don't mean to denigrate them because they're doing, you know, terrific stuff, as you say, at the local level and so forth. Keep that up. But don't stay away from this national fight. Get in the game. And that's not about policy. That's not about any particular party. That's about democracy and, you know, restoring what we have to we the people, to the numbers who turned out in Zuccotti Park and out here in L.A. and all around the country. I just think they're underestimating themselves. Mark, I do got to run, but what's your you want to give your last name so we can find you at Huffington Post?
Yeah, Mark Taylor Canfield. And Brad, I would love
Mark.
To speak to you again
okay.
about possibility of running for office myself. So let's keep that line of communication open because I'm not against the idea. I'm just up against, you know, a very top-heavy Democratic Party at this point. So
yeah.
It's a little bit difficult.
I hear you, and I see your stuff out there, Mark. Keep up the good work, and thanks for hanging out and hanging on the line long enough. I got to run here before I get in more trouble. Thanks, brother. All right, we're going to come back. I'm still going to try to get to everybody, so hang on the line. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us, please.
people say I'm crazy. Doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, they do. What's up with that? My thanks tonight to engineer Tony Sorrentino. Thank you, brother. Here are the best engineer in the world here at LA's K-Talk AM 1150. Producer Desi Doyen, super-duper associate producer Margo Paez, who is tomorrow promoted for one day only to producer as Desi goes out and does some Young Turks or something. Also, my thanks to the folks in the chat room for Earth and Jeannie Dean. I think, did I see Dale there? I don't know if I saw him there. Thanks for keeping an eye on things there. Thanks to all the chatters at the bradblog.com chat room. Thanks to all of you for listening. Excuse me. My thanks to my guests, John Tomasic and Ion Sancho, and also, of course, to Mike and Kathy Malloy. I will get tonight's show and all of its righteous rants up at bradblog.com late night tonight if you missed any portion of the program. And, of course, my thanks. Oh, did I already say? My thanks. Well, I'll say it again. My thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy. All right, we're going to get to as many callers as we can in about the 2.5 minutes we have left. So, sorry, guys. Lightning round. It's my fault. Let's go to Scott in Minneapolis. What's on your mind, Scott? Very quickly.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that what's going on with Eric Holder in front of the Congress right now is to tie him up so he can't pursue some of the monkey business you've been talking about. If they can get him to resign, do they have to ratify another attorney general, or does the assistant attorney general take over?
Well, if that happens, I doubt it will. Frankly, I wish it would, because I think Holder's doing a crappy job. But generally, there's an acting, one of his deputies becomes the acting attorney general. And you know what? The truth is that, like, there's a civil rights voting division at the DOJ. They can continue whatever fight they're doing, which is not nearly enough, with or without Eric Holder.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate you hanging on so long there. Arnold in North Carolina has another Holder question. What's up, Arnold?
Man, I'm telling you, I appreciate your show tonight. I enjoyed what I heard. If the Republicans was on the losing end of these scam artist tricks they're doing with the voting machines, they would go ballistic. But the Democrats, who are on the losing end of this thing, they like usual, they stand around like a bunch of pantyweights and do absolutely nothing. Man, I'm always on the losing side of this thing. They sit there and watch the Republicans just carpet bomb the Acorns Association.
Yeah.
Association that is the legs for the Democratic Party.
Yep.
I mean, they watched the Republicans carpet bomb the unions, which are legs for the Democrats.
No, I hear you.
They did nothing.
The Democrats rolled over and they did nothing, and Barack Obama signed the bill that defunded Acorn, despite the fact that Acorn did nothing. Arnold, thanks. I do got to run. And by the way, the Republicans, when they get hit with this stuff, they do fight back. Tea Party Joe Miller up in Alaska. I supported him as he had his fight against these voting machines. Doug Hoffman up in New York 23, the Tea Partier up there. The Republicans, they fight when this when it hits them. The Democrats, maybe next time. Hey, James in Los Angeles, sorry I couldn't get to you. Call back tomorrow night. He's a member of the Tea Party, says he doesn't know who Koch is. I'll give you a hint. He's the one who funds all your rallies. See you tomorrow night.